All right. Well, here we are. Here we are again.
All right.
Some of you have heard me very often.
Okay.
And but I feel that whenever anyone speaks about how they come to Baba, Baba is right here giving darshan again.
Okay.
As with me, it was in 1952 when Baba came, that a friend of mine, we were living in Newark, New Jersey at the time, and a friend of mine called me, Loretta Weller from Nutley, New Jersey. She had just met Harold and Virginia Rudd a few days before. And when she heard about the master coming, she was very enthusiastic, and she called me too, said the master is coming to New York, a master is coming to New York, and we are going over to see him. Would you like to come with us? And I said, yes, of course. Well, masters were not really known in 52. They weren't, hardly anybody spoke of masters, but I had read something about masters. And I heard that they were very powerful and all-knowing. So here I am. And when the pupil is ready, the master will appear. So here I was, apparently being ready for a master. And I thought it was great. But in the afternoon, she called me back and said, and the master had an accident. And that was Baba's accident in 52. And I thought, well, I didn't know about a master at all and what he does and so forth. At any rate, I thought, well, now, if a master is all-powerful, this one can't be powerful because he couldn't avoid an accident. So I called her back under some pretense. And she says, well, when I come back tomorrow, I'll call you and let you know how it was. I thought I was quite smart that I didn't fall for any claim, you know. And I was quite puffed up. I thought I was all right not to fall for any claim of a master. So well, the next day she called up and she started out, and I know Baba is God. Baba is the Christ. I said, the Christ? How do you know that? She said, because I felt the pain in my hand and in my feet, and it was excruciating. And I fell right down before him on my knees, and I said, oh my God. And when she said that, it was like a wave coming over me. I had missed the opportunity of a lifetime. Well, I said, well, I brought some pamphlet and I brought a book. I bought a book and I let you read it. So that was it. Well, I did inquire about the meetings, and there was a film shown in one of the hotels in New York. It was a beautiful film, a color film, and Darwin Shaw was the narrator. And I was very much impressed with his sincerity and his devotion to Baba. And then I did put my name down for being notified for periodicals and so forth. But I did have to wait until 53 when a notice came for the silence day that Baba wanted all his lovers and those who would want to do so to observe an 1 hour between 3 and 4 in the morning to repeat the name of God. The Westerners could use God Almighty, and the Muslims could use Allah, and the Hindus, Yastan, and the Parsis, and so forth. And I guess Zoroastrian, Zoroaster, and Ahura Mazda, and so forth. But I was very happy that I was able to observe this order, and for 1 hour, I would repeat God Almighty. And I was very, very pleased to know that I was able to observe Baba's order. When 5 o'clock came, I went back to bed, and as I was just about to pull up the covers, there stood Baba. He didn't speak, but he conveyed the thought, I am pleased. Well, that did it with me. That did it with me. If Baba could be in India and come to me and tell me, let me know he was pleased, then he is what he said he is. You see, I had never any qualm who Baba was after that. So I did have to wait until 1956 when Baba came. And that was at the Delmonico Hotel. My husband came with me and three friends that we invited. They were not really interested in Baba. They were just curious what a master looks like and how he behaved and so forth. So as we were sitting in the waiting room, a crowd like this, I thought it was, not many more, a lady came in and said, the photographers are here. Anyone wants to be photographed with Baba, raise your hand. And my husband whispered to me, don't you raise your hand. Well, I looked around and I thought, what kind of people are they? They don't want to be photographed with Baba. And up went my hand. And the fellow behind me also raised his hand and they said, you two come on up. And she introduced us to Phyllis Frederick. And Phyllis Frederick brought us into Baba. She opened the door. And Baba was a big hall that Baba was sitting about 60 feet from me. And as I beheld Baba sitting there on a white, in a white coat and white sadra, on a white turban, and the thought came, this august being, he is the essence of purity. And like Loretta, I was the same. I fell right down on my knees before him, automatically, without thinking of any apology. I had prepared a very fine speech of apology why I didn't come in 52. But I had it all forgotten. Somebody had told me, you will never know what you do when you meet Baba. Whatever you think you do, you do everything different. Well, there I was. And Baba gently reached down and pulled me up. This by the left hand, and I can just feel it yet. Gently pulled me up and embraced me so heartily that when he held me so tight in his arm and I could feel his love, that I said to myself, is this possible? Me in the arms of God. Wow. Immediately when I thought that, Baba dropped his arms and put his hands on my shoulder and looked me straight in the eye. And there I was, feeling his gaze very strongly. And for a long time, what I thought was a very long time, but I had such an urge to blink. And somehow I knew I mustn't blink. But I held it as long as I could, and finally I did have to blink. And immediately Baba dropped his hands. So, but I didn't know that John Bass was next to me, and as Baba dropped his hands, he just came forth and stepped forward and said, Baba, this is Mrs. Forbes. She too had contributed to God Speaks. Now, God Speaks had come out recently, and those who wanted to contribute something extra so that the book could be distributed in India for those who didn't have the money to buy it, they would get an autographed copy of Baba. So I was lucky with that I had that book. And when he said that, my tongue was finally loosened and I said, yes, Baba, I have the book, but I don't understand it. So Baba motioned something, gestured to Erich. Erich says, Baba tells you, you must read the book 5 times, and then you will have it for all eternity. So with that, Baba gave me a grape. And I held it tight in my hand, and Erich says, you must eat it. I didn't know then that Baba gives you a prasad when he said, I sow the seed of love in your heart. But it is in my own time that I allow it to fructify. Now, I believe that seed is finally fructifying as I come up to Baba's spiritual center here. And it's really fructifying because I can feel all the love around me and within me also, you see. So when I ate that, the next fellow that was with me, he was motioned forward to come to Baba. And Baba embraced him very heartily. As I watched, it was a black man, and as I watched Baba embracing that man so heartily, I had the impression Baba is doing something symbolic for the black race. And it turned out that some riots started in El Consul soon after, and the black race came to start to demand their rights soon. So it was really the beginning of that. So when Leonard Willoughby was his name, when he had his darshan, then the photographers started to click. Now it was the NBC photographers. They had huge apparatus. They were way up to the ceiling, and they gave us orders. I had to step backwards 15 feet and come forwards, and Baba would reach out his hand, and I would shake hands with Baba. And here I was, the lucky one, not just once more having a Baba contact, but three times I had to do that. See, all for that one gesture of raising my hand, you see. So then when the black man came, Leonard came, Baba embraced him very heartily again, and also three times he had to do that. And that was really great, really beautiful. It was a very hot day, and there was no air conditioning in that hall. And I remember from the excitement, my hands were sweaty, and I would just rub them on my skirt when I come forward. And Baba's hands were so beautiful, cool. Yeah. It was great. And when we came out, then it was announced that the rest of the people could now come and have their darshan. So I did ask John Bias, and I don't know why ever I asked him that question, that he should take my husband and tell Baba that he was my husband, as if it meant anything, you know. But I did ask him that, and it was good because John says, "No, I wouldn't do anything of the kind. You go right in and introduce him yourself." I can do that? I can do that? Yeah, you can do that. Well, here I can come forward again and meet Baba again. I was in heaven then. So here I was. Now, my dear Al, he hadn't read too much of Baba. He was just very happy that I was so in such good mood all the time, you know. Anything I did, he was just great, you know. So he thought he must be a good guy, you know. So here he come, and when he come in line, I was in awe of Baba's august being, but I was very leisure. He was just reaching out his hand. He says, "Baba, I'm so glad you're here. My wife couldn't wait for you to come. For weeks she hasn't been talking anything but Baba, Baba, Baba." and Baba, with a very broad smile, shook his hands vigorously, and with his other hand he patted my cheek. And I always say, anybody kisses me, kiss me on that cheek, because my right cheek is where Baba patted me, you know. But when in that moment, in that as we had a perfect triangle, you know, with Baba, I felt in that moment our marriage is truly blessed by God, no matter what the wedding. That is our real wedding. Baba is blessing. God is blessing us right now. And I was actually in ecstasy with that, you see. So as we can pass by the line, then three of my friends, they came through too. Now they didn't really know too much about Baba. They just wanted to see what it is like to be with the master. But one of them was lost after a while, and I couldn't find her. When I finally discovered her in a dark alcove down in the basement, she says, "I can't stop crying." I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I told Baba I lost my faith." And Baba said, "I will help you." And now she had never been really interested in following Baba. The others had bought books and read about Baba, but she had never been interested. We were friends all her life. Whenever we met, she would say, "How's your Baba doing these days?" And what's your Baba up to these days? That was always her remark, and that's as far as she came with Baba. Now, Baba had told her, I will help you. And it was until about 78, 1978, when she was on the deathbed, she called me from Palm Springs, California. And she thanked me for my friendship during the years and for introducing her to Maya Baba. Now, I couldn't ask her what the relationship was, because her voice was very feeble and she could hardly talk. But I knew then Baba had kept his promise. He said, I will help you. So here she was comforted by Baba in her last moment. And that's what the story about Elsa Bliss there. So as we went through, I thought we would be going home now, but Dana Fields came up and says, don't go yet. Baba is yet giving a discourse. So, oh, good. So it seems that everyone went from the hall to the music room, and Baba was sitting by the grand piano upon which stood a big bowl of peaches. And Don Stephen read the discourse. I don't remember much of the discourse because my eyes were on Baba, focused on Baba. After the discourse, Baba started to disperse the peaches. And as his custom was, he would pick up a peach and hold it in his hand and look at the person. And the person is already here, he had it already caught. And it would go in this direction. It went on until the whole bowl was empty, and it was great fun. And Don Stephen caught four of them, and he shared two with me. Now, I don't know whether he did right or not. Give me two. I think whatever you get from the master, you ought to keep yourself. But then I was just lucky to have two. And my friend, who did all the crying when she saw my peaches, she says, give me one of those. Don't be so selfish. So, all right, she got a peach also, you see. So that's what it was. And then again, I thought we were ready to go. Dana Fields had told us about the discourse. Yeah, that's right. I had bought a hat. Now, I guess I wasn't quite adequate to meet the avatar, because women wore hats at the time, so I had to get a new hat, you know. And when I went back and forth to shake hands with Baba, you have no idea about what that hat was. It was like a ton sitting on my head. And if I could just throw that hat in some corner, I thought, I just knew that was the silliest thing, but I had to bear with it. And I came out in the waiting room, I threw it in the corner. So when we were about ready to go, I remembered the hat. So I had to go back in the waiting room. But the silly hat did me another good service. As I picked up the hat and I looked around, there was a door standing open to the elevator. And lo and behold, there was Baba standing by the elevator with the disciples, waiting for the elevator to come up or down. And my husband said, let's go. And I said, no. Wait. And I closed my eyes and I said, oh, Baba, just one more look. And I opened my eyes and Baba was looking in this direction. And he, I was over here. And out of the, I, he turned just ever so much, about 45 degrees, an angle foot, that out of the corner of his eyes I could see him. But the feeling, that the inner feeling, that Baba had actually heard my call and responded to it, to me it was really the greatest. I can't tell you how exalted I was, how that lifted my spirit to think this inner contact. And up to this day, I do feel our inner contact with Baba is the real thing. Not what we know and read and talk about, but our inner intimate contact with Baba, that is really the inner thing. And I was ever so glad about this particular experience that I had with Baba. So when I came out of the, on the sidewalk, pardon? When I came out of the sidewalk, the sidewalk was the same, New York was the same, but I was as tall as a building and I felt as light as a feather. It was just a beautiful feeling, the thing. But I believe Baba had given me a little touch of divine love. And it lasted about 3 days. I could embrace anybody that I met, I felt so wonderful. And then it was just gradually waning again, and I felt I was coming down to the little me again. But not quite so down, anyhow. Baba says, one thing I always like to say on my Tuesday talks, that Baba said about humanity is receiving help from the inner planes all the time. And in order that this help should fructify, man should must get rid of his inferiority complex and become conscious of his divinity. So while we are thinking we are just our personality and often forget our soul self, Baba reminds us that we are divine beings also. And gradually, our inner contact with Baba, through our inner contact with Baba, Baba transmutes our mortality into his divinity, you see. And so that is our benefit of being with Baba. When you have a teacher, you have to work very hard and exercise and all. But Baba is doing the work in us through our own inner love and contact with him. Because when he says, remember me, just remember me all the time. And because remembering me, we are then feeling his love for him through that avenue, that inner link that is established. We are contacting his divine love, you see. And it is his divine love who transmutes our base nature into the nature of gold, you see. So we have a great privilege that we are with the avatar. We can't even imagine or measure what it means actually to us. Someday Baba will give everyone a push and we know what our privilege is and who we really are. Jai Baba. Yes, dear.
Will you tell us about, you know, that lady that worked in the boat with Baba? You know that lady that worked in the boat? That lady friend's daughter?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ralph likes me to tell about the story. I always say that we have Baba contacts us long before we ever heard his name. And I myself feel that Baba contacted me when I was a young girl. We sang a song that meant, I don't want to go alone. Wherever you go there, I want to be with you. And it was at the time Jesus that we thought about. And I sang that from the depths of my heart. I never was more sincere, I think. I thought I had reached the heights, actually, in the spiritual line. Oh, I was only 14, and I felt afterwards, when I met Baba, that it was at that moment when Baba counted me inwardly, don't you see? So now Ralph wants me to tell the story. It was when I was here on a Friday night when Jeff was showing some stories about Baba. And here was Baba Jeff announced, this is Mayor Bob on a Bremen, on a boat Bremen, coming from New York to, coming from England to New York, you know. And all of a sudden, I got a flash. It brought me back to the time when I first came to America from Germany. And I lived with a girl whose mother was a stewardess on a Bremen. And one night she came, whenever she came, every these were speedboats at the time, and they were very fashionable, and there were no airplanes, so these boats were all there was. And every 2 weeks they would return, and she would always come and tell us what great personality was on that boat, you know. So this time she came and told us of a master, a Hindu master that was on a boat, and how he was, he wasn't talking, and he had his disciples with him, and you had to be very quiet. Whenever you went to his cabin, you had to be on tiptoe. And something happened that the master was dissatisfied with the service he got. And she was, this woman was assigned to bring the food to the master's cabin, you know. So how close can you get to Baba? Here I was with a woman who had served Baba his breakfast and so forth. And I didn't know, of course, at the time when she said that was, but when I saw the film, it says, Baba on a Bremen, that was Mrs. Oldenburg telling me about him. Mind you, after all these years, it was fun. I had to stand up and tell everybody, now look, this is what I just remembered, you know, and everybody was electrified. Yeah, only a few years ago that you showed that film, but any time I see Baba sitting there on a Bremen, on a boat, then I always remember how things, yeah. Was it 32, I believe, in 32, yes. So therefore, I already had another inner contact with Baba, you see. I mean, the links through Mrs. Oldenburg there, that I already had heard of Baba again, you see. So it was another time when, in the 40s, when I had some contact with a lady on Fifth Avenue, and she told me about a master in India. Oh, she told me about an ashram. There was only boys in that ashram. And she said, I don't know what kind of a master he was. The boys were crying. The boys were crying all day long. Can you imagine anyone to make the boys cry? Well, I couldn't imagine it. I don't imagine what kind of master he could be to make the boys cry. A little bit I touched Baba's hem, just a little bit more, you know, just the thread of his hem at the time. Wasn't that remarkable, though? Yeah, I don't know, just but that was the 49, I guess, you know. So, but of course, I still didn't know who the master was. She didn't say any. But when I got a hold of the book, what it's called? Yeah. Yes, Sapsa Shops, that's right. Then, of course, that's what it was. That's what she talked about. That she probably never understood the whole thing. She was a theosophist, however, she knew quite a lot. So, is that satisfactory, Ralph? Yeah.
That I